We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, sir, the Football Friday. Get yourself going, presented by Carbox. Hoppadillo IPA. Glenn, I'm ready to rock and roll,
I can tell you're screaming at me. Damn, what happened?
You're damn right I am.
Hold on, so
I will
you
not.
You went home, rubbed some feet last night, didn't you?
I didn't rub a don't damn. Lie,
don't lie,
damn foot.
It really penetrates it a little bit hard.
I didn't touch a damn foot.
Not a damn foot.
Come on, baby, let's get it.
Cheese and crackers, and wished I had some sausage. But I did not touch no damn
feet. We talking about rubbing feet. You talking about eating.
I want some meat, man. I can't have no meat. But, I love your thought of what you came in with today. And like you said, man, today leading into Sunday for the Texans against the Ravens is a soul check game. A soul check game. Why don't you explain the hell that means, a soul check game?
Well, when you go into a season, I think just generally speaking, man, that goose egg in the loss column is a big, big motivator. How long can we keep it there? Can we go 16-0? And so that obviously is not there any longer, and it was snatched from you by the same team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year. And when you look at those two games, the playoffs last year and the opening game this year, two games versus Kansas City. You got drugged 51-31 last year, and you got drugged 34-20 this year. And within those eight quarters of football, there was a run where Kansas City outscored you 82-14. Now you look at Baltimore. You look at Baltimore last year, 41-7 in a game where you never had a chance. It was an eye opener. They just snatched your soul from you in that individual game, as Kansas City has in back-to-back games here. And now you're sitting here week two and you got Baltimore coming down the pipe again. And the reality of this thing is, you no longer have the goose egg in the 2020 loss column to motivate you. You just got beat up by Kansas City, so you know the defending Super Bowl champ. You know there's a large gap between you, your team, your organization, and the best in the game. And now you got Baltimore staring you in the face, who's the number two team in the AFC right now where we sit in September of 2020. That's the number two team, and they've already drugged you once. And this game right here,
drug you,
is a game, no question. It's one of them games where if you get embarrassed again as an organization, I think coach is hot, coaches' seats get hot, and I think players find it much more difficult to be motivated to come to work. I'm not saying that the entire season depends on the first 2 weeks of football this year. But what I'm saying is these are games when not only are you losing, but you're getting embarrassed by the best in the game at a moment where your organization is built and they're supposed to be able to stand at least toe-to-toe with anybody in the NFL. And I just believe this is a game where it's a soul check for the Houston Texans.
Oh, I love it.
It's a soul check, man.
Soul check. Get in there deep. Dig deep in there. You got to find something within you. Somebody from the coaching staff to the players, y'all got to get off your asses and find something.
Show it. I love it. Soul check, man.
Oh, I love that.
When this game is over, if you as a player or you as an organization can't see some improvement from 2019 to 2020, and you go, okay, we're moving in the right direction. We're trending in the right direction. I don't care if we're talking about the front office. I don't care if we're talking about the coaching staff. I don't care if we're talking about the players. If you don't see growth this week, I'm not saying they have to win. I'm saying if you don't see a team take the field that can that competes for four quarters and gives Baltimore a run for their damn money for four quarters on Sunday, I firmly believe that deep down inside each one of these individuals' chest, there's going to be some soul checking going on of where the Houston Texans stand at this moment in time when the expectations are through the roof for the last couple of years and you get checked out of the gate week one and two.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you on a Football Friday. And Clint, you brought up some things of hot seat.
Yep.
Things of, hey, we got to take another look type of situation. And I know many people out there, and I'll get it out the way, and people will see it on Twitter. Oh, I've seen it. How much is Bill O'Brien paying you? How much is all this show? Why do you love him so much? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. It's still a line from one of my favorite movies. Remember the Titans. I may be a mean cuss, but I'm the same mean cuss to everybody. I'm fair. And I will tell you this. There is a part there where you spoke about hot seat that I agree with. This will be a problem for Bill. And where it will be a problem for Bill is if they come out again in week two against this team that, as you said, Skoll drug your ass is the last time they played you. They come out with a lackluster performance in preseason mode again, then it would tell me, Clint, they're not hearing Bill O'Brien's voice anymore. It would tell me 2 weeks in a row you just played the defending champions who knocked you out, who you had to hear all offseason going into the game, and you put forth that performance and came out that way. I know Bill O'Brien is a coach. We've seen him. We've watched him. We've talked to Cecil Schwartz, who's played under him. You see, this is not a guy who's not fiery. This is not a guy who is like, oh, la-di-da. No, this is a guy who is saying, we got to be better than we were last week. If they come out in preseason mode again, it would scream to me that his voice has run its course. It's white noise. If they can't get up for this game after what they put on. We heard Randall Cobb yesterday say, I felt like I looked like I was in a preseason game. I wasn't ready. If they do that again, Clint, now that's something. And you played in the league where when a coach's voice isn't heard anymore and players aren't motivated by that anymore, then it don't matter if you've been there 20 years, 6 years, 8 years, 4 years, there has to be a change. I don't expect them to come out like that. I expect to see them come out in a better light, like it's a real regular season game. But if they don't, then I think Bill has some trouble.
Well, if they don't, there's no denying it, right? I mean, you can talk about last year's playoff, and when a team runs 51-7, and you blow that big lead, and then that team goes on to win a Super Bowl, that you can wrap your head around. Hey, man, we made some poor decisions, had some bad luck. Ran up against a buzzsaw in Kansas City, and yeah, it was embarrassing, but what are the odds of that happening again? But you know, so you can somewhat explain those types of scenarios away. You can explain the Baltimore, you know, game away in some way, shape, or form last year because you didn't really know what Lamar Jackson was. Lamar Jackson was running through everybody because it was new. All the NFL will they'll respond and they'll figure out Lamar Jackson. And you fast forward to this year, you just got to wonder how many times it can happen before you go, hey, man, it's black and white. There is just a huge gap between the Houston Texans and the championship caliber football teams in this league right now. And here's the scary part is this game, the outcome of this game will impact the rest of the season in a huge way.
Yep.
I believe this team has a legit shot versus everybody else on their schedule, right? When you just stack up on paper, when you stack up, you match up the Texans, anybody else on this schedule moving forward, you go, hey, I feel pretty good about their chances. I don't think anybody in their right mind said that you felt good about their chances in Kansas City. I don't think anybody in their right mind saying they feel good about their chances this year, this week with Baltimore. But moving forward, where we sit right now, you go, hey, Pittsburgh, they're a good football team, but the Texans be all right, should be all right. Minnesota, good football team, but the Texans, this game right here, if they get their soul snatched from them, this will impact the Pittsburgh game, the Minnesota their game, the Green Bay game, because if you don't come to work every day excited to be there, excited about the future of the team and the organization, and excited about the next 14 weeks after week two, teams like Green Bay, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh, they'll take advantage of it. They'll put their foot on your throat. They'll kick you while you're down. This game, the reason I call it a soul check game is because it will impact the rest of the season regardless of who the opponents are on the schedule. This will impact how the team approaches practice every day, how they drive to the locker room every day, the facility every single day, how they put their pads on and walk to the field. It will impact that in a positive way if they play well, compete, and possibly win. Mm-hmm. But it will be a huge negative way if they go out there and get drug again.
Clint Sterner in the show right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. As we're talking about, Clint said, man, I'm with him. This is a soul check game for the Texans against the Ravens on Sunday. And as you said, they're not even saying they got to win. And nobody, I'm not even saying must win. What I'm saying is if they walk out there and the intensity level isn't noticeably different from what it was on Thursday against the Chiefs, if the focus level isn't noticeably different than it was on Thursday against the Chiefs, if it just does, like, to me, that had to have been preached. That had to have been preached during this week. And if they come out the way they did, and we're seeing Randall Cobb talking about it, felt like I looked like I was in a preseason game. That, to me, that's a problem that the players are not motivated. They are not moved by the coach anymore, and the voice doesn't work, and now you got problems.
Well, you're talking about when the games that we're talking about, right, is the two teams that the Texans are chasing is Baltimore and Kansas City.
Yep.
When you talk about – and as we're talking, I'm thinking back. There's been 12 quarters of football in the last year with those – not so let's say last 6 months between those football teams. And really the first quarter against Kansas City playoffs is really the only
– and maybe the first quarter Thursday. Sort of, as it was. Seven.
That's good. That's a good first quarter by the Texans. Yeah, I watched that film this morning and again, and I saw. I was surprised in the first quarter with how I actually felt about the game and what I was watching in the first quarter. So yeah, you're right. That's a good first quarter by the Texans. So you got two good quarters of football out of 12 versus the two teams that you're chasing, and you got a shot at four more quarters this week. I'm just telling you, if they don't come out and play well and compete, they're going to question a lot of things about what they're doing on a daily basis, where this organization is, and what the future looks like as it's currently built.
As I said, Clint, I don't think they're going to come out with a lack of intensity. I don't think they will. I think they will pull it together. All right, before we head out, man, some news today. I saw this first from Mark Berman, but the game tomorrow, it was supposed to be Houston and Baylor. It has been canceled has been postponed due to COVID issues. In particular, a source from Baylor said a position group unexpectedly fell under the threshold, which is why the game against Houston has been postponed Saturday.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
He was supposed to make some money.
COVID costing me money, man. I was going
to
call
that
game.
Game.
I was supposed to call that game, man. I was looking forward to the Bears and the Krugers.
I hate you.
I was looking.
Andre Ware, former Houston Kruger here.
Yes, yes. I was looking forward to getting
back
in.
The guy says Krugers one time.
No, on a serious note, I was looking forward to getting in the booth and calling the game again, Houston and Baylor. That was going to be a hell of a matchup, no doubt about it. And COVID has cost me some money, man. It has cost me some damn money.
Yeah, it really has. Well, it's postponed. Maybe they'll get it. That's the first two games for Baylor this year have now been postponed due to COVID issues.
Louisiana Tech and U of H.
Yep. All right. One of the leaders for the Texans spoke today, and I'll just put it like this. Maybe he didn't give Texans fans what they want, but he surely gave you something desperately that you needed to hear. We'll let you hear that coming up. Andre Ware, former Houston Cougar here.
It's a rare late afternoon home game Sunday against the Ravens. So enjoy your morning. And by 12:30, turn us up.
We welcome you back in. The Texans Countdown presented by Kroger. Sean Pendergast and Seth Pink getting you ready for today's matchup.
Texans, Ravens, 3:25 kick. And we'll have the call from NRG Stadium.
We are ready to rock in Houston.
On the official home of the Texans. Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
MD Anderson Cancer Center is doing whatever it takes in the pursuit of making cancer history. Learn more at findyourmdanderson.com.
What's up, everybody? Clint Sterner here with a message from my friends over at D&M Leasing. Did you know that D&M has been named the highest rated leasing company in America for 4 years in a row by Dealer Rater? D&M Leasing, they're committed to saving you time and money and making sure it's a healthy process. You can get your new vehicle in 15 minutes.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Listen, man, it may not necessarily be what many of you want to hear, because hell, if we read the damn text line or read Twitter or listen to the post game that Clint and Sean Pendergast does each and every Sunday.
Come on.
I know y'all want blood. Y'all want them to come out and say, "We suck. We'll never win another game."
I want some of that Bruce Arians type of stuff where he comes out and says, He said, "No, Helly, that was an RPO. He should have handed the ball off, and he pulled it. Brady pulled it and threw the damn out route behind the receiver."
Need some more tenacity from Tom Brady.
It was a bad decision, and he threw it. He threw it inside and low. Hell, that's a pick all day.
Yeah, he looked like Tom Brady in practice all week, but out of the game, and he was someone else.
I think that's what I want some of that.
That's what Texans fans want. That's what you want. But what you need, I believe, Clint, what you need is a calming influence, man.
We all need that in our life.
Right. And I know that I am that for you guys, but it is game one. And you like, everyone has kind of got above their skis, right? I mean, from everywhere. Hell, our boss is out of control about what the Texans season could be. Like, everyone has let it get away from them. All right. It's one game. Laramie Tunzel, one of the leaders on this team, he spoke to the media today, Clint. And he was just that, the calming influence. Here's him speaking about what the attitude they need to have, how they need to approach the game on Sunday. And just listen to this calming influence the big fella gives us.
Not having a preseason game, I really don't think it matters as much, because we had training camp, but that's just my opinion. But, man, we just got to come out there and just execute the game plan. I don't know. I don't think the preseason really affects us as much. We just got to come out there with a better attitude.
God, he's being Love honest. It. He's being honest, Clint. But he's got a little laugh to him. He said, "This ain't DEFCON 1. We good, baby. Like, we good. We're a good football team. We just got our ass beat, but we're a good football team. But we're going to be all right." I love it.
I love the fact that Laramie Tunsil was not afraid to say, "Look, it ain't about not having a preseason game." I've heard several guys say that, and to truth be told, it surprises me a little bit. Like I said, I think that's probably has been preached to them throughout training camp of, man, this is an odd season, and the buildup is tough, and we're gonna take it one step at a time, and we're not gonna get in a hurry, and no preseason is gonna be different. The first week's gonna be different because we didn't have preseason. I feel like that's been the message all along. And so the majority of guys that come out and talk, they mention the preseason as a crutch, pretty much. I love when Laramie Tunsil, who clearly watched the rest of the NFL play and doesn't hear anybody else complaining about not having preseason, damn sure not the teams that won, complaining about not having preseason. And he was asked about it and just said, "No, it was more about having a better attitude. It was more about executing your game plan. It was about energy and effort. More so than it was whether there was a preseason or not." Look, I don't doubt that the preseason, not having a preseason,
they had miscommunications.
I don't doubt that impacted every single football team, but to play poorly the way the Texans did, and then lean heavily on no preseason every time that somebody speaks to the media, I don't like it, and I think it's refreshing to hear Laramie Tunsil and Randall Cobb just call a spade and call it like it is.
I just love it, man. Like, you know, sometimes you hear folks joking, like you didn't hear the laughter. Maybe that it didn't come across like he didn't know how serious the moment was. He knew what it is. He just said, look, the way he came off to me was, we're fine.
Oh, it was very calm.
Like everybody calmed down. Like it's not like a, it wasn't a laugh of who gives a damn if we go 0-16. I'm just waiting my time to go to camp. It wasn't like that. It was a, we're good, folks. Everybody just take a deep breath. And then he spoke about somebody else who really struggled, in the game. Tytus Howard. And I love this because we know that he is one of the leaders on this team, especially a leader on the offensive line. And you could see a second-year guy who's only played six games after that game against a Frank Clark and Chris Jones maybe have some nerves now. You could tell maybe he went to Tytus, baby, calm down, baby. You could. This is Laramie on Tytus Howard.
He's a dog. Like he still have a lot to develop. This is only his second year, but in my opinion, I see him every day. I think he's going to be a great player. He's a dog. He put everything on the line every day.
You good, baby?
Yeah. No, I think that this is one. He's one of the players to me show that struggled week one, up front. Him and Zach Fulton, the right side of the offensive line. But as I look at this thing, is Tytus Howard doesn't concern me at all. His play week one doesn't concern me at all. Whether he's going to be
at all.
At all. Not one bit. I mean, I'm not – he's a second-year guy. That was his seventh start in the NFL. And those aren't excuses. That's just the reality of the situation is you've got a really, really, really talented player there that struggled against one of the best pass rushers in this game, and you got an offensive coordinator that never adjusted to give him help. You got a game that got out of hand where they had to be an empty and 11 personnel where he didn't have any help. There wasn't even threat of helping him off the end. Kansas City knew exactly what the Texans were going to do. They had to throw the ball to try to win in the second half. And so you're talking about a guy that, yeah, he struggled. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen him play better. But when I look at what Tytus Howard did, I don't all of a sudden go, well, boy,
yes.
Tytus Howard, that's a bad draft pick, man.
We've had conversations. We've come into the season thinking we're pretty high on Tytus Howard, and we like him. And all of a sudden, after 1 week against Frank Clark, that we now believe he stinks. And he's not a good football player, and that's not true.
There were probably two, maybe three snaps where he was just – you know, Frank Clark was too much for him at this point in time. The speed of Frank Clark in obvious passing
and
situations.
And crafty moves. Yeah. He did that little dip that he did where he got him. And he ain't probably seen that a lot.
It's understandable where that would be too much for Tytus Howard. There were some miscommunications where Frank Clark got home because he wasn't even blocked. But there were two times that I can remember off the top of my head where Tytus Howard was just, he was out of his league being one-on-one, left on an island with Frank Clark. And that's something that, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of veteran tackles in this game that have moved to the right tackle position because they're not talented enough to play the left tackle position. And if Frank Clark gets over them, they're going to struggle. It's just the reality of the situation, right? You got Schwartz is over there at right tackle for Kansas City, and Jacob Martin
worked him over,
right? It happens to the best of them. I believe that what we know now about Tytus Howard is where he's at after a year is he needs a little bit of help and protection, right? You need to at least have a back to that side or a tight end to that side to slow down the first step of the pass rush or to chip on the backside of a pass rush. You need that with Tytus Howard. This is not an empty football team. This is not a team where right now against elite pass rushers, it's not a team or a quarterback, by the way, where – when you got elite pass rushers on the defense that you're playing, that you go, hey, we're going to empty the backfield. Hell with it. We're going to eliminate every threat of run. We're going to tell the world that we're passing the football. It's not that team. The Texans aren't that team. Whether you're talking about Deshaun Watson or you're talking about Nick Martin, you're talking about Zach Fulton or Tytus Howard, they're not that team. Tytus Howard needs a little bit of help. He's still got a bright future in this league, and I think the tackle position for the Texans is better than most in this league. For the foreseeable future.
I love the text line 713-572-4610. We have a lot of fun. I love this one. Tytus can't play. Told you I rest my case. What case? Tytus has played six games, and in the six games he was on the all rookie team as a tackle. What case are you resting?
That's tough to wrap my head around, show, because I just gave you a perfect example where Jacob Martin beat one of the best right tackles in this game, who's a veteran, right? How long has Swartz been in the league?
Forever.
He
has been first or second team All-Pro the last 3 or 4 years.
And Jacob Martin beat him like a drum and gave up a sack.
Yeah, didn't matter how much.
Right away, boom. I mean, so to sit there and go, again, knee-jerk reaction about Titus Howard after he got beat by Frank Clark a couple times, it's silly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I think, Laramie, calm down. Everybody.
Yeah.
Pull it together. Like, just remember in the offseason when Jamal Adams became a free agent, and I told you all, since you don't have picks, these are the you got to give players. And I'm going to construct, these are the type of players you have to give up. Everyone threw snowballs at me when I included Titus Howard in it. No! No! And now I'm seeing a whole host of people, he can't play. He can't play. Now, just months ago, you were like, he cannot be included in a deal to bring in Jamal Adams. Hell no. You all were telling me that Bernardrick McKinney could be a centerpiece in that deal. But now we're to a point where, Titus can't play. That's just silliness. All right. I'm glad, Laramie. It might not have been what you wanted, but it was exactly what you needed. Titus will be fine. I'm with you, Clint. And Laramie Tunzel giving Texans fans exactly what they need. All right, Clint, you have you've watched film all week, and you have what you believe are the offensive keys of the game for the Texans on Sunday as they take on the Ravens. And it's funny, folks, he's got a word for a Texans coach, and it ain't Bill O'Brien. We'll hear from that next.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. Welcome in on a Football Friday presented by Carbox Capadillo IPA. And let's get to it, man. We've said it from the offseason, Clint. This is an offensive team. All right? The defense is going to grow, and you would hope maybe that J.J. Watt can hold them together and they'll grow as the season goes forward. But for this team to get to where they want to get to, it's an offensive football team. They did not look great, especially when the game was on the line and mattered, except for one drive against the Chiefs. The Ravens, what is the offensive keys to this game for you, Clint?
I think Tim Kelly has to create advantages for the wide receivers, man. I mean, he has to be an advantage. The polo on the sideline, that is Tim Kelly, has to create an advantage. That you don't have receivers that you can line up out there, leave them stagnant, let the defense get set every single snap, and expect these guys to be more physical off the ball than defensive backs can be throughout the game for four quarters. These are not guys that are big enough and physical enough to get the release they need on time and consistently without a little bit of help. And,
do you think that's ongoing, or do you think that was just they just looked bad on film yesterday?
I think it's ongoing.
Because I never thought about that with Brandon Cooks. I never thought about Brandon Cooks. Maybe it's the
plot. A lot of these guys, we've never seen Will Fuller without DeAndre Hopkins opposite him getting all the attention and having free space to run, right? We've never seen Brandon Cooks in an offense that just doesn't use motion and formations as an advantage.
That's not run by Josh McDaniels or Sean Payton.
Right.
Or Sean McVay,
right? I mean, those guys are gurus at getting matchups and getting throws in the ocean for the quarterback, and they use formations and they use motions to do that. And so we've never seen these guys in such a stagnant offense when it comes to formations and motions and things of that nature. And I think that has to change. I think first and foremost, moving forward for this team to have success, I believe that they have to get creative with their formations and their motions to do very simple things. This is football 101, guys. I'm not talking about something that anybody out there should have a hard time understanding right now. Is you can't line up two receivers to the left, two receivers to the right, equal spacing, and have them stand there while Deshaun Watson figures out how to block the front and then snap the football and try to run a route. This group cannot do that. You could do that in the past with DeAndre Hopkins. Hell, he was okay. They put a DB in his face, physical, and a safety over the top, and hell, he'd still beat him. That's the style of ball that he played. That's what he brought to the table. That was the best way to win football games with DeAndre Hopkins. That is not the case anymore. Tim Kelly has to create free releases for these wide receivers. He has to create soft coverage for these wide receivers to get off the football and to create space for quick throws. He just simply has to be an advantage. And to give you an example, we talked a little bit yesterday about it. Bunch formations, which we saw, I don't recall seeing one of them in the Kansas City game. Bunch formations give two, it's a set of three receivers that are exactly as it sounds. They're all bunched together. You can bunch them wide. You can bunch them near the tackle. You can space them out however you want to space them out. But the three players, the three receivers, they would all fit in essentially a phone booth together how they line up. And what that does is that forces the defense, because they don't know who's going to go in, who's going to go out, who's going to go deep, who's going to go short. So it forces the defense to bracket players instead of just man up, get in their face, jump them when the ball snapped. And so it creates free releases and it creates space just by the simple alignment.
And can be confusion.
And can be confusing as hell when you're throwing three guys out there, or at least two guys of the bunch that can run 4.3 40s. I mean, because the way you stop a 4.3 is you jump their ass to the line of scrimmage. You disrupt them at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to force you hard inside, or I'm going to force you hard outside so that I screw up your timing. And now I've pinned you to the sideline, or I've pushed you into my safety, one or the other. Right? That's the way you beat 4-3, right? The way 4-3 wins is the way we've seen Will Fuller win in the past. Corner soft as hell because all the attention's on DeAndre Hopkins. That corner knows he's on an island with no deep help, and now Will Fuller runs free all day long, and he makes big-time plays. That can still happen without DeAndre Hopkins here, but it's on Tim Kelly to do it. You no longer have that coverage dictator to do it.
And bunch sets are possible. We watched them do it. If you want a reminder of what that looks like, go look at the opening drive against the Chiefs in the playoff game. It created everything you're talking about. A bunch set created confusion, and Kenny Stills went running down the middle of the field all Bingo. Alone because the Chiefs got confused on who they were supposed to be getting. Everyone got free releases, and it resulted into a touchdown. So we know that's in the playbook.
Yep. Every playbook from high school all the way up has a bunch package, and I think this is something that from the rest of the season that you should see the Texans use and really lean on. Critical situations, two-point plays. If you're third and goal from the five, you know, if it's third and four at midfield, if it's a fourth down, because it guarantees you what you're going to get. They cannot press all three receivers when you're in a bunch formation. They can't. It's impossible. So it eliminates the defense disrupting every single receiver at the line of scrimmage. It eliminates the defensive backs getting their hands on the wide receivers immediately. What I hear last night, I heard Baker Mayfield get interviewed after a Thursday night win, which, by the way, we need to talk about that. That was a hell of a football game. And not two great franchises, but a hell of a football game last night on Thursday night football. Terrible interview. But they did. they did interview Baker, and they asked him, what was the difference between when y'all played Baltimore week one and when you played Cincinnati week two? Why were y'all able to have so much success throwing the football and running the football, yada, yada, yada? Baker's first response was, Baltimore, they're physical, and their secondary, their cover guys, like to grab a lot, and they were getting away with it. Okay, so if I'm a play caller, it's common sense, right? Am I gonna go into the game with a plan of I'm gonna go two by two, line my receivers up and give Baltimore the opportunity to get in the face of my receivers, get their hands on them right away, be more physical to them, and disrupt my pass game? Because remember, week one, they did it versus Jarvis Landry, and they did it versus Odell Beckham Jr., Hooper, and Joku. I mean, you don't have that you don't have that talent at wide receiver. Your ceiling's not that high at wide receiver. So if they couldn't get off the ball, so if Baltimore's physicality in the secondary was that big of an issue for Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Hooper and Njoku, then it should probably be a sign that
you need to do something.
You want to avoid it at all costs. Yeah. How do you do that? Use those bunch. And look, football's not that simple.
Motion
helps as well. The NFL, you can stack the receivers. You can stack one receiver right behind the other on both sides of the quarterback, two by two formation, stack them back, you know, on top of each other. That allows that back guy a free release. I mean, you can do a ton of things. And look, I know the NFL football game, playing offensive football in the NFL is very difficult. I get it. I'm simplifying it as much as I can for our listeners' show. I'm telling you that if you don't see a lot of bunch formation, then they clearly aren't getting the message that Baltimore is more physical than most defenses, that they grab, and now you're putting in the ref's hands to throw the flag. If the refs say, nah, we're going to let them play ball, you're going to be screwed for four quarters unless you are proactive and put your receivers in a position to get free releases and get soft coverage. Because, by the way, that bunch formation, you get a lot of soft coverage versus that. So, Deshaun Watson, you want an easy throw in the ocean? You want that easy throw? We saw Pat Mahomes week one against the Texans.
They have to create it. They've got to create easy throws to get him comfortable and to get them comfortable. And bunch formations and motions, just doing things.
No doubt.
Can help them.
No doubt about it. Show OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. Save the poo-poo jokes for later.
I don't have them. He didn't.
Tyler's really doing a good job of Odell Beckham Jr. poo-poo jokes on Twitter last night. By the way, my fiance really enjoys that. I don't know if that's the target audience you're shooting for, but she really thinks it's funny. But those guys couldn't create separation. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. couldn't create separation.
But you saw last night, as Baker said, they were able to create it last night.
Yep. So Tim Kelly's just the package, the multiple formation packages have to be a big part of this game plan, show. I just don't know. And again, I'm not sitting here coming on air and going, man, they got to rebuild their playbook. I mean, this is stuff that.
It's in it. That, we've seen it.
We've seen it. They've done it. It's just got to be a bigger part of what they do up front. That's my number one key hail for the rest of the season, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. So there's number one for you, man.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense because because what we saw with the receivers, Clint, just didn't make sense in the game.
Right.
They are. I get what you're saying. Maybe they needed help. They're explosive. They should be explosive. They've been explosive in other seasons before what they did last Thursday. Brandon Cooks has been a big play guy. We all know Will Fuller when he's been here and when he's been healthy, he's been a big play guy. And Randall Cobb in his career has been a guy who has been really, really good from the slot and can create big plays. They did none of it last week.
Yep.
And that has to be a huge, 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 huge change for them coming up. All right, that's a big, big key to the offense. I think another one, man, that people are really looking at, Clint, is it's got to be whatever it is, whoever's fault the pass protection is up front, whoever it is, like, they got to get Deshaun better ability to have time to throw and have time to look at things, right? It's not to say that, all right, 24 pressures. I don't like you look, you watched it. May not have been 24 pressures, may have been around 12, 13, 14 pressures, but still, that is still too much, and they still need to fix that. To me, I got to believe that's got to be another big, big key is them being able to find a way to protect him and give him enough time to be able to do things consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to. And look, we mentioned earlier that Laremy Tunsil spoke to the media. He talked about what they're up against. Laremy Tunsil, this is Laremy Tunsil talking about the Ravens defense. And this is a pretty good cut right here. He actually corrects one of the media members, and it puts an emphasis on how this offensive line knows that this is a blitz-happy team coming to town.
You see the Ravens, and they like to blitz a lot. They had the most blitzes of any team since 2011. What are some of the things? 2008. Okay. Thank you.
2008.
From them, in terms of how do they try to create pressure?
They're a good team. They're a good defense. They've been like that since 2008. And we just got to do one thing, man. That's just execute our game plan, and let's see the results at the end of the game.
And in particular, Matt Judon and Calais Campbell, just what do you think of those two guys?
Great players. You know, Calais Campbell been in the league for a long time. He's a crafty vet. This is 13th year, I believe. And, you know, he's a Pro Bowl guy. So we got to be on our A game. And same with Judon. You know, he's been in the league for a while. So he was just at the Pro Bowl last year. So
that was Aaron Wilson who was put in his place. Houston Chronicle. If Aaron had real stones, he would have come in and said, no, since 2000, they've been a really good defense, not just since 2000.
Yeah, you heard what I said, Ton. You heard what I said, man. You heard what I said. Yeah, look, I mean, there's no doubt about it that the protection has to be better. The key is that it's a group effort, right? I mean, this isn't this isn't one of those situations where you come in and you go, well, it's about the offensive line. No, I just completely disagree. They've got to be better. But I think the big part about the protection aspect of it is they have to use their backs and tight ends as at least a threat, right? As I said earlier, this is not an empty football team. This is not a team that can empty the backfield and eliminate every threat of the run, because everybody in the NFL knows you're not going to run Deshaun Watson if you're not inside the five-yard line. At this point in time, when you empty the backfield, everybody knows that you're throwing the football. Everybody knows that Deshaun Watson holds the football longer than anybody in the league. Hell, the coach is coming to town this week. John Harbaugh, hell, he said it. Deshaun Watson holds the ball longer than anybody else. So, one, to help the protection, the key is the protection has to be huge this week, obviously. But it's more about the backs and the tight ends and Deshaun Watson than it is the offensive line, right? The backs and the tight ends, even if you're an 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, you need to keep a back and a tight end in the backfield. Or you need to at least keep them in a position where they can threaten to either chip or interfere with the pass rush of the defensive ends immediately. One of those two. The backs and the tight ends have to stay in. And then Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun's got to be on his game, man. Deshaun, we've seen multiple games where Deshaun has a very difficult time figuring out who the mic is. Who are you going to designate as the mic? I mean, it just goes back and forth. That's the middle linebacker. Yeah, the Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard false start last week, right? I mean, you can't leave those big dudes sitting up there in a two-point stance knowing Frank Clark and Chris Jones is getting ready to pounce. You can't just leave them up there and wait till the play clock gets to one and then everybody knows the snap count because you got to snap it before that one comes off the clock. You can't do that. You got to get up there, declare the mic, move forward. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake at 100 miles an hour. You don't have guys trying to hold their water up front. So Deshaun's got to be better in identifying the mic and setting the protection. And then the backs and the tight ends have to be better at helping. And I mean, I don't mean that they just don't get out in your route because we're so worried about guys, the pass rush. You got to stay in and help block. I'm talking about at least be a threat where you might punch somebody in the ribs when you run by him. Matthew Judon, you're going to run by him and punch him in the ribs, right? Derek Wolfe on the other side, you're going to run by him and punch him in the ribs when Titus Howard's got him stood up. You know, if there's a blitzing defensive back, his team loves to blitz. You know how you stop a defensive back from blitzing 100 miles an hour? One of these offensive linemen catches two hand palms in his chest and put him on his ass, put him on his back. First thing hits the ground is the back of his head. That guy won't come rushing in a hurry. At least he won't look forward to the next time the defense coordinator dials it up. And so those are things that can help the pass protection, but it's absolutely huge this week with how much the Baltimore Ravens want to blitz, man.
All right, those are some of the keys. Tim Kelly, you got to step up, and everybody has to step up when it comes to protection coming up, because this is a team that's going to try to bring pressure. All right, we have the latest on what could be a major factor in this game for the Texans on Sunday. We will give you that news coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.